爸， lullaby. Grieve Ardari, Jaya Grieve Ardari. Kunja Bihari. Yamuna Dhiravarachari Jaya Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivadakacharya Asadhara Siddhu Shri Sriman. His Divine Grace, Shalesi, Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste, Saraswati Deve, Gaur Vani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Pada Kamalam Shigurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakansvitamscha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 72, The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha. Text number 7. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Samyagvya Vasitam Rajan Bhavata Shatru Karshana Kalyani Yena Te Kirtir Lokan Anu Bhavishati Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Samyag Vyavasitam Rajan Bhavata Shatru Karshana Kalyani Yena Te Kirtir Lokan Anupavishati. Rajan Bhagavata Sutarshana Kayani Yena Te Kirtir Lokan Anubhavishati Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Vyavasita Rajan Bhavata Kshatru Karshana Kayani Yena Te Kirtir Lokananu Bhavishati. Ladies, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Samyag Vyasitam Rajan Bhavata Shatru Karshana Kalyani Yena Te Kirtir Lokananu Bhavishati. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Samyag Vyavasitam Rajan Bhavata Shatru Karshana Kalyani Yena Te Kirtir Lokananu Bhavishati. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Samyag Vyavasitan Rajan Bhavata Shatru Karshana Kalyani Yena Te Kirtir Lokananu Bhavishati. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Lord said, Samyak, perfectly, Yavasitam, determined, Rajan, O King, Bhavata, by you, Shatru of enemies. Karshana, O tormentor. Kalyani, auspicious. Yena, by which. Te, your. Kirti, fame. Lokan, all the world. Anubhavishyati, it will see. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, your decision is perfect, O King, and thus your noble fame will spread to all the worlds, O tormentor of your enemies. The purport. Lord Krishna here concurs with King Yudhisthira's decision that the Rajasuya sacrifice should be performed. The Lord further agrees that there is nothing unfair in the fact that one result is achieved by those who worship him and another by those who do not. The great Bhagavatam commentators point out that by addressing King Yudhisthira as Shatru Karshana, tormentor of enemies, the Lord is imparting to him the potency to conquer all the enemy kings. Thus Krishna predicted that King Yudhisthira's noble fame would spread to all the worlds, and in fact it has. Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskyadyade Siddharane. One of the amazing, seemingly inconsistencies in our philosophy is the fact that in one sense we're not the doer, and in the other sense we're responsible for whatever was happening. Not everything that's happening, at least what's happening in our life, we're responsible for it. So therefore it takes a good deal of philosophy to adjust both aspects. In one place, Krishna says that prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. He says the foolish, those who are bewildered by the illusory energy, they think themselves to be the doer of the activities, which are actually carried out by the three modes of nature. And on the other hand, Krishna says that there are five factors in the accomplishment of any kind of work. And the first fact, and one of the factors is adhishtanam, the place of activity, namely the body, tata karta, and then he says the doer, referring to the soul. So one place he says the soul is a fool because he thinks he's the doer. And then the other place, he's saying he's the doer. He's one of the factors. But actually, there's no contradiction, because Krishna says also, maya dakshena prakrite suyate sacharacharam hetuna nena kuntya jagati parivartite, that the material nature is working under my direction, producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So in one sense, everything that we see going on here, or we don't see what's going on, is all being done by Krishna. Krishna is ordering the material nature or directing the material nature to work in innumerable different ways. But it's not by accident. Although, as Krishna says, anadi dvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikantiya na karoti nanalipyate, that those who can actually see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. So here's another point. The soul is actually not doing anything, nor are we actually entangled. We're all eternally on the spiritual platform. So what's the problem? The problem is that our desires have been misdirected by the illusory energy. In other words, although we are eternal, we're transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature, presently we think we're this body and this subtle mind. And simply by thinking otherwise, we'll still think like that. In other words, there's a difference between just thinking and experiencing. Our real knowledge is covered by ignorance. Nadate kasachit papam, nat papam sukritim vibhu, agyane navritam gyana, tena muyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. So we're not aware of our eternality. We believe we're this body, and indeed, in another place, Krishna says, Yata prakashyat yekam, kritsnam lokimumamrivi, kshetram kshetri tata kritsnam prakashyati bharata. When, however, one is enlightened by the soul, just like the sun is existing in one place in the universe, but is illuminating the entire universe by sunlight, so the soul is situated in one place in the body and is illuminating the entire body with its consciousness. So indeed, it's not just a misconception that we're the body. It's simply not only a fault of understanding properly, but also our consciousness is pervading the body. And therefore we feel the pleasures and the pains that the body goes through. Although it doesn't affect us any more than Krishna, when he explains that the air may be circulating in the universe, but still ether, space, is completely beyond the air. So similarly, although our consciousness pervades the body and we're aware of what's going on, but it doesn't really affect us. It's only due to a misunderstanding that we think when the body is going through some transformation and we're experiencing it, then we're actually going through the transformation. Just like we can watch a movie and the hero just defeated his enemies and we feel good, but we haven't done anything. We haven't defeated any enemy. And even if the hero was shot, there's no bullet that goes into us, although we may feel some pain. It's simply our sympathy, our empathy with the situation that causes us to feel like that. Similarly, because we become very empathic towards this body and subtle mind, therefore we're experiencing it. And we actually believe that we're part of this whole drama that's going on. We're either the hero or the villain or a combination of both. And other people are heroes and villains also. But actually, it's simply the modes of material nature being directed by this Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to the desert and the desires of innumerable living entities. In other words, it's not by accident what's going on. It's all being arranged perfectly by the Supreme Lord, not only according to what we're presently desiring, but also according to what we presently deserve to achieve and experience. Therefore, Krishna advises Sarva Karmani Manasa Sanyasyaste Sukhamvasi Naiva Dware Paraye Dehi Naiva Kauravan Nakarya. When the embodied soul, master of the city of his body, renounces the fruits of his activities, then he remains happily situated in the body, neither desiring or causing work to be done. So Krishna says we're master of the city of the body because by our desire, Krishna will make arrangements according to what we deserve. So we have a control over what we agree to desire if we have enough intelligence, if we get enough knowledge. So real knowledge is meant to help us control our desires. Without controlling our desires, controlling desires means to know which desires to be aloof from and which desires to desire. Unless we know which desires to become aloof from and which desires to desire, then we become caught up in the gross and subtle activities of the material existence. But once one can desire to fulfill Krishna's desires, then, according to our determination and conviction to do so, then Krishna reciprocates and gives us dadami buddhi ogam tam yena mam upyanti te. Then Krishna immediately reciprocates by giving us the intelligence by which we can make spiritual progress. And as soon as we desire to fulfill our material desires, then at once Krishna gives us intelligence how to become more and more entangled in the material energy. It goes on so it's instantaneous. Krishna is not an ordinary personality. For innumerable living entities, he can perfectly adjust everything without any hesitation. But when the living entity desires to make some progress in spiritual life, then Krishna makes some special arrangement to discourage the soul from desiring material things, and at the same time gives special encouragement to help the soul desire spiritual things. So here, Krishna says, or at least in the purport it's saying, that Krishna confirms that he himself is not really partial towards anyone. That whatever is going on is not due to Krishna's desire, unless what we see manifest as Krishna's desire is when devotees are engaged in devotional service. That's the manifestation of Krishna's desire. And everything else is simply the soul bewildered by the three modes of material nature, desiring either goodness, passion, or ignorance, to be placed in a circumstance where either goodness or passion or ignorance predominates. One may feel that one is making progress when one is in goodness, but then some people also feel they're making progress when they're in passion and ignorance. Person in ignorance, they think, I'm not working, I'm not doing anything, I'm just eating and sleeping, and therefore I'm fulfilling the goal that everyone is working so hard for, but I'm doing it without any effort. Therefore, I'm better than those in passion running around just so they can make some money so they can eat and sleep. But I'm not making any money, but still I'm eating and sleeping very happily. Therefore, I'm much more intelligent. And those in passion, they think, oh, those people in ignorance, they don't know how to sleep and eat perfectly, as we know. And those in goodness, they think, oh, these people are just absorbed in ignorance and passion. They don't know the finer points of higher consciousness, and therefore they're suffering in their endeavor to either enjoy the material energy or to prevent themselves from suffering here. They have no real understanding of how the material nature works and how to control it. And those who are in spiritual life, they think all these people, they're just chewing the jute, either trying to enjoy the material nature or control the material nature or to get out of the material nature. But it's all about the material nature. Instead, they should focus their attention on the spiritual nature, and then they won't have anything to worry about. Just like if one is asleep and there's a tiger biting one. There may be so many means to get rid of the tiger. You can kick the tiger. You can shoot the tiger. You can do so many things to the tiger. But if you wake up, then the tiger will automatically disappear. So one who's asleep, one may think there's so many ways of getting out of our problems and to find a better situation. But it's all about the tiger, either escaping from the tiger or making friends with the tiger or killing the tiger. But actually the solution is not in relation to the tiger. The solution is just to get out of our misconception that we have some relationship with the tiger. Better just to wake up, and then all the problems are automatically solved. Similarly, when we wake up to our real identity, and everything we're looking for is there, namely bliss, knowledge, awareness, eternal bliss and awareness that goes on increasing forever. Our real endeavor is satisfied. And our misconceptions that we have to struggle with the material nature in order to achieve those things is automatically eliminated. Why are people working so hard? Why are they praying to God? They're hoping by some arrangement they can find perfect happiness in the material world. But actually, everyone finds a world where there is perfectly suffering here. It's perfectly arranged to make have the living entities suffer eternally. So that eventually they can become inspired to wake up and find out where real happiness can be achieved. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? This is when you all leave, isn't it? 8:05 on the dot. Any questions? Yes.
Marge, that's so loud. You were speaking about how the three modes of material nature are always governing us. And I heard Srila Prabhupada say that in this Kali Yuga that the devotee and the demon are in the same body. So that seems to be really challenging.
We have demoniac thoughts.
Okay.
And we can have divine thoughts. Yeah, so therefore we hear, Krishna says, it's very difficult to curb the restless mind, Arjuna, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So we're practicing sadhana bhakti. At the same time, we have to be willing to give up our misconceptions. We have to be willing to surrender to Krishna. Not carry on sadhana bhakti, at the same time misidentify ourselves with this gross mind and subtle body. We have to become detached from these things. Therefore, that takes some tolerance, learning tolerance along the way, so that in spite of the fact that the mind and senses trying to distract us from devotional service, we keep on engaging in the service of Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.